Hi, this is Bonnie Simmons, and this is a meeting of the Archive Task Force. And we have a small but enthusiastic group of us. Teresa Allen, Michael Woodson, myself, Bonnie Simmons, Wendy Schroll, and Brian DeShazer, the director of the Archives, and Addie Gevins from the Archives also. And am I missing anybody? Apparently not. Brian, perhaps since we've already kind of talked about some of our smaller housekeeping duties that we have, you could give us a report to just kind of catch us up on doings at the Archives and concerns that you might have.
Sure. Addie and I talked earlier, and we thought that there would be new members, so we were all looking forward to talking about the history and the mission and the services that we provide to the stations. But I think we can skip that because you guys are well-versed in that. And are here because you care, so we really appreciate that. Let's see, now what do we want to talk about? I guess we can brag a little. We can brag a little bit right now and tell you what we're doing, activities, and then we can get to some real concerns and how we think you guys can help us. So the big news for the Archives is that the From the Vault is one of the top-selling premiums throughout the network at the stations during this drive.
Oh my God, it sure is.
With Amy Goodman choosing to pitch it on Democracy Now!, it really has gone gangbusters. And, you know, so of course that means funds for the Archives. You know, ultimately it means more funds for the stations. So we're really happy about that. As Wendy mentioned earlier in the offline meeting, we still have issues of getting the From the Vault through the process of programming at the stations to have it aired in a regular segment. And also promoted on the website, whether it's broadcast or not, at the station level. So we still have a lot of work to do with the series being a real series on all points, if at all. So let's see, From the Vault, that's good. Our 1968 project, we've been talking for about a year, year and a half about 1968 and the preservation project. We did send over 130 tapes of 1968 for special preservation last year, and they arrived back in our offices in digital format in October. We didn't touch them until December because we had a fund drive to produce. So then we processed them back in and are now distributing them. And so we really have some experience about our promotional aspect of distributing media advisories and press releases about the events in state that will be 40th anniversary and what we have in the Archives that we can distribute. We, for the first time, we've worked with archive.org, Internet Archive. They've been part and have made a presentation at the PNB and been working with Dave Adelson and Rob Robinson. So we now have a real live Pacifica Radio Archives page on internetarchive.org. It's just archive.org. But we're right there next to Democracy Now!, and we're starting with our 1968 materials, and within 2 days we are already seeing downloads, and we are a pick of the month or a pick of the week or something at a higher level of the Tet Offensive reportage from Dale Miner, WBAI reporter, in 1968. So our stuff is starting to work, and with Stephanie Hendricks working on our promotional plan and the media advisories, we're working with people like Bob Fass being available for interviews so that we can generate feature stories about Pacifica's legacy and our place in history in terms of independent media predating NPR and PBS. So it's really exciting. Past Tet Offensive, the next event is My Lai Massacre. We have the earliest interview with Cy Hirsch that is already up and distributed and is being used.
Interview Cy Hirsch about? My Lai Massacre.
My Lai Massacre cover-up.
Right.
So the trial didn't happen until the 70s. Or 70, 71, something like that. But the journalist who broke the story was Cy Hirsch, and he was interviewed in December of 69. The massacre itself was March 16th, 68. So it's sort of a very long, involved government cover-up, and it's certainly appropriate and relevant to highlight what Pacifica did by giving a man who broke the story, who hadn't been given voice on the commercial media, the voice to explain what was going on. So that's coming up in March. But, you know, if you think about the rest of the year, we have April, which is Dr. King's assassination. May is the Paris student strike and revolt, the Columbia student actions. The good news in terms of our mission, making things accessible and usable, there's really some good, exciting news. The Columbia student strike, Juan Gonzalez of Democracy Now! Was one of the strikers and was interviewed on WBAI in 68 during the strike. It was covered by BAI for days. And Barbara Bernstein, a programmer from KBOO in Colorado?
Portland.
Thank you. I knew it was at an FCB location of some sort. So KBOO is in Portland. Barbara Bernstein, a veteran public radio programmer, was also a Columbia student rally protester in 68. So she's doing a project with the 40th anniversary reunion at the university about the strike and needed audio to put together a audio poster, is how she sort of put it in words, so that the reunion could be commemorated. So it was really great that we'd spent all this time and money getting the materials transferred, that within a day, Barbara Bernstein had the audio and the archives will be part and participating in the reunion. And that also gives us information. Our database has been corrected. We got a name spelling corrected. We got a date corrected in our database. And now we have Juan Gonzalez, who will hopefully, with Barbara Bernstein, write testimonials about the use of our materials, the significance of it. And with Juan Gonzalez, we might get a feature story in the Daily News that hopefully he'll write. But working with Stephanie Hendricks, we're going to be hitting pretty hard in terms of distributing the information on the legacy and the actual materials and how they're being used outside of our own stations. So that, I guess that I can pause for questions or other comments from Addie or anything.
Go there.
I saw the email that you sent through, Brian, listing some of the things that were up on internet.org.
Uh-huh.
And mostly it was the Tet Offensive and the My Lai Massacre and then some of the San Francisco Film Festival stuff, wasn't it?
Right. What that list was basically what we had already just uploaded. Like, we don't have the staff and resources to do everything all at once and fast, like PBS does. So we've had to sort of take the approach of doing it month by month or event by event. So we're really playing catch up because we were also busy with fundraising and whatever else we were doing, working with the other parts of the grant. We're very busy people. So we're taking that month-by-month approach. So since that document, Bonnie, since you received it, David has already uploaded a dozen more things for coming up April. I think Robert F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King is up there. I think he uploaded Joan Baez earlier today. So really it was just we're working on it so fast right now that every day there's 10 or 20 more programs available.
Cool.
So we're getting all the, we're working on web pages to where you'll be able to get the media advisory, stream and download audio. It's all through the Creative Commons license. So this is our first test, our pilot test with the Creative Commons license and archive.org so that we can measure who's using it. You know, where that the archives in Pacifica gets attribution wherever it leads to. So this is really great test because the materials, most of the materials that we're using don't have strict copyright issues. In other words, I'm not putting up somebody's poetry or anything
right.
like that.
Right.
I mean, the Martin Luther King was a press conference at Santa Rita Prison. He was there visiting Joan Baez. So we're even looking at the Martin Luther King piece as absolutely unique, and it was a press conference, and therefore we can test it. So that is that part of it. Okay, so now I'll pause. So if you go to the archives website, there's a 1968 button, and you'll see a lot of updates on that in the coming days. on being able to be led to the folio, so we'll have graphics and some real data of the programming. What else? I guess that's not all, but it's all I can think of at the moment.
I have a question. It's Wendy.
Sure. Hi.
Hi. Okay, so I understand that, let me just pretend I don't understand any of it. Pacifica has, PRA has a thing with archive.org, and so I'm going to guess that you can get to the archive.org pieces from PacificaRadioArchive.org. I'm at archive.org by myself right now, and I'm wondering, how do I find our stuff at archive.org, and what does this relationship really mean, what you're talking about with archive.org?
Sure. If you just do a search for Pacifica Radio Archives, you'll find our page. It'll be the first listing that comes up.
There it is.
Or if you check audio...
Yeah, there's a way. Yeah, you can go check audio. Then we're in the news and public affairs section. Archive.org. There it is. I have to follow along too.
Yeah, there's about a page of, if you just search Pacifica Radio Archives, there's about a page worth of other things. And if you scroll down, you'll start hitting the 68 stuff.
Okay, and I figured I could probably do that. I hadn't tried it yet, but is there? I'm not sure how huge archive.org is, although I'm kind of getting an idea looking at it right now. Is there anything we can do to help get some kind of a button at archive.org, or is that just too outrageous and crazy?
Actually, we do have one. Our button is, we have our own page with our logo on it, and then we have a button on the news and public affairs page. So where Democracy Now! Has their button, our button is, I don't know, 7 down from theirs. So we're listed in the same packages, Open Democracy, Mother Jones Radio, Human Rights and Social Justice Conference, and Free Speech Radio News. So we do have our logo in, like, a number of places.
Okay. So from their homepage, you just click News and Public Affairs and then go, and then you can find us. Okay, that's awesome.
If you see on the upper left, there's a spotlight item, and the Dale Minor reports on the Tet Offensive are the spotlight item, where you actually see next door to that is all the Democracy Now! Downloads.
On what?
Spotlight? This is the News and Public Affairs front page.
So, you know, if you really, really, really want to find... Oops, I'm sorry. If you really want to find the stuff fast, like you actually are looking for it, the thing would be if you went to media types and you went audio and you go search, you don't even have to do that. Like, let's say you're looking for Pacifica 1968. It'll be there.
All right. So you asked about like what the relationship is and what this does for us, Wendy, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the relationship, there's no contract. They don't do contracts. So Rob Robinson is the one that sort of helped broker the meeting that sort of first set it up. So this is Brewster, McHale, and I can't remember the other gentleman who came and made a presentation at a New York PNB. But it was about licensing and distribution and how the Creative Commons license was appropriate for distributing materials for Pacifica. So Democracy Now! Has done it, and Free Speech Radio News has done it. I think Alternative Radio. So we're following a lead. But what the holdup or the tentative issue for me as the director of the archives was the copyright issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we didn't really want to sort of give them the open gate to say, here's all of our content, go for it. Because we really did have to be cognizant of, we don't have the information about a particular recording to tell you if we're the owners to upload it or not, or if we would have to go through a copyright clearance, even to the level of giving it up to Creative Commons. Poetry is certainly one of the big deals. Literature, big deal. What some people would consider intellectual property is a big deal, and certain people are a big deal. So we were very careful about how we wanted to start that discussion. So the 1968 project is kind of perfect. You know, journalists' reports on the Tet Offensive don't have copyright issues, so it's a great way to test it.
Yeah.
And also what it does for us. So that's the relationship. There's no contract. There's no monies brought back and forth. What it does for us is do the accessibility part of our mission. It distributes and gives a portal from a different user into our website and into our information. People who don't even know what the Archives or Pacifica is about but only go to the Internet Archive for information now will find it. And we'll also be able to allow them permissions to use the materials. As Dave says, we're people who are nonprofit organizations and or nonprofit media can use the materials as long as they attribute Pacifica Radio Archives or Pacifica Radio. If you're a commercial licensee, if it's ABC or MSNBC, they can still get the materials from archive.org, but they have to contact me first and pay us the licensing fee.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually are increasing our audience and our users. Well, we don't know how. We're just now being able to measure it. But based on what archive.org's audience is, we've expanded our audience exponentially.
Our potential audience.
Yeah.
But
thank
you know
you.
How That's... you all can help us, actually, is if you actually log in there and then you see where you could do reviews. If you actually enter, if you actually click on any one of these entries, it asks you if you want to write a review.
Cool.
Right. Right. So you can write a review. That'd be great.
That would be a really, really terrific thing to do.
We could announce that on the radio, and people could go there and write a review.
Sure. I mean, that would be really great. You know, whatever it is that comes, they'll print anything, you know. I mean, as long as it's not objectionable. So, you know, it could be whatever people bring to mind, because for this 68 stuff, there'll be a lot of people who, you know, have their own information to bring. And that would be really cool.
Great. All right. So that's Addie, do you have anything to add before I move on to something else out of 68 stuff?
Well, the Pacific Film Archive.
Okay, yeah.
Project.
Yeah, let me say something in regard to the reviews. Brian,
uh-huh.
Could you maybe write something up that could be announced, like a promo?
I'm sure. You know, as we're doing these Revolution Rewind moments, maybe a really good thing to do is do a promo promoting the project in addition to the... Because I have no idea if the stations are airing the Revolution Rewind moments. I know they're in
a fun
drive.
I've never heard of it, and we're the station that does whatever you say.
Yay!
Yay!
Revolution Rewind.
Right. So I guess we should send CDs out to the program directors to say, you know, these are the historic Revolution Rewind moments, as, you know, they're made to be PSAs, right? Or put into morning programs. Some of them are longer than 30 seconds or a minute. But they're date specific. You know, we wait until April 4th before we play the MLK assassination recording or funeral recording. I guess they need to be reminded of it because I think it got lost in the fun drive shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, as we're next week, as we distribute the media advisory and the website will actually have a month-by-month calendar. In the calendar, the program directors and all the individual programmers, even more importantly, can access via a month by month, like what happened, what kind of materials does the archive have, and how do I want to put it into my program? So they can download the raw materials and make their own documentary. They can use the Revolution Rewind moment if they just want to take a few minutes to mark, you know, an event or a piece of really great audio. And again, it, you know, when you said we only uploaded the My Lai Massacre, the Tet Offensive, and some of the cinema stuff, we were really sort of pushing with the cinema stuff because it was Oscar week and we thought we could get some, generate some stuff from it. But that's still not over with. You know, that the thing is that the cinema stuff is not date specific. the more we put the press releases out, the more we can actually do. There are some programs out there that might be interested in some of those cinema stuff. So with the Pacific Film Series, Addie, this is the other reason why we started with the film stuff. You want to go ahead and go with that?
Yes.
May I just before she goes, I want to mention again, sending the CD to the program director, sending something that the program director that's written that they can send, like we have what's called the news mongrel, where the program director sends something out to all the programmers. Simple things that introduce the programmers to this concept would be very useful too. Not just in the same format.
Teresa,
great.
Are you on that list?
Now,
yes.
Do you know if the program director? No, that's the programmer's director's tool.
Yes.
Communicate with the programmers.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As many times as I've met with the program directors, I've never heard of this. The digital list of premiums we've sent to them in hard copy and in digital format and sent CDs, and I've never heard of a single program director that's forwarded the list of premiums to the programmers via the news mongrel.
Hi, this is Tracy at KPFA. Yeah, they use a similar system at KPFA, and of course it should be there. So, yeah.
So if each of you could, you know,
nice,
specifically inform Brian what it is and how to...
Who approves what that goes out on the news mongrel? I'm not accusing program directors of, you know, stop gapping information for the programmers, but it seems like there should be some level of suggestion from you guys or your help, you know, to say, you know, that's appropriate. You know, don't you guys want Brian's list for the programmers? Because
I know they do.
I talk to them when I visit them. It's just I'm not sure that they do or not.
One thing that you might work with Nathan Moore a little bit.
Yeah, we actually are now trying to create the list of people who gather the premiums at the station.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
We're in the middle of that now.
What
I gave him my list.
What is the email newsletter at KPFA called?
Pardon?
Well, there's two possibilities with KPFA as far as I know, and if Bonnie Simmons is on the call, she may know more than I do, but I'll just throw out what I'm aware of. One is there is an all-staff email list, which is actually accessed through the webmaster. So one option would be to shoot something off if it's in a format that's ready to go, for example, a list of premiums that are available through the archives, and that way it doesn't need to hit the program director's desk, which I think is often a place that's very crowded, and it can kind of just go straight out, assuming the information doesn't need to be filtered, and it's pretty much ready to go. The other item is sort of a program director's notes to the staff thing that I think goes out about once every 2 weeks, and for that, it may be that going to the program coordinator's desk or sort of the traffic desk would sort of get you to the person who's actually putting it together. So that may also be an option. So maybe what I should do is just send Brian those email addresses and contacts, and maybe that would give you a couple different, you know, CC options. So
right, it sounds like we should also forward it to just to this archives committee so you guys are aware of it, and that way you actually know what you're talking about when you talk to whoever it is to say, did you see the notice from the archives?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Go out to the thing.
Yeah.
That might be easier because it's really hard to follow up with all the stations and the many invisible people that actually do the work.
Okay. So, Brian, so let me send you a couple of contacts, and then maybe we can set up like a CC kind of thing where you send it to them, and then you CC me, and then it's my job to follow up or something
great.
Like that.
Actually,
well,
Brian, if I could just stick a little word in there. This is Bonnie. I actually believe that the staff email list determinations go through Sasha and Lemlem.
Right.
Okay.
So it's
probably
best to actually just send it to Sasha.
All right,
you know,
because Michael had said that if you sent it to him, he would just, you know, clear it through and take care of it. So I thought it might be faster.
I think he'd just be clearing it with Sasha.
Of course, but it's one other way to get it through is all I'm saying.
This is Wendy.
So with the list from this past fund drive, Bonnie, you as a staff member, did you get the premium list from the Archives for Black History Month from Sasha?
No, but I might not have because she may have worked that through the editorial meetings. and the department head meetings when they go through what they're using on each show for premiums, because it may not filter to music programmers.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So does this news mongrel separate public affairs and pro music programmers in two different categories?
This is Wendy.
That's Houston, yeah.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm just going to talk now. Yeah, at KPFT, that's the program director's list to the programmers. It's called the News Mongrel. They don't separate between music and public affairs, and I think that's intentional. They really want to encourage cross-pollination between whoever wants to do it. And I have seen, when I was on that list, I have seen Ernesto forwarding to the programmers your recommendation or your things. Brian, I somehow am not on that list anymore, which is sort of weird because, there's other...
Well, we just voted at the local station board that it's going to go to all LSB members now.
Recently?
In addition to the staff, yes.
Okay, because I'm married to a programmer, so it was bizarre that I was suddenly taken off, but I subscribed to the program director. Our program director also has a blog, and so I subscribed to that, and suddenly I was off the other list. But anyway, it's all good. Yeah, they do put that out. I don't know if they did it this time, but I would just encourage, I think it's a great idea to forward those archive, whatever's available, you know, your things that you're talking about, send it to this committee, and you know, we all have varying degrees of influence we can use, and it's a great idea.
Well, this is Teresa. I would like to suggest that that you send more things to the program directors with a suggestion that they forward it on to the volunteer programmers, and try to make them short and more frequent, so the programmers are constantly reminded that we have the archives and what the archives does, or the archives' accomplishments, or you know, such. If it's really long, I think that when I read it, if it's really long, I just kind of scroll through and you know, say, well, I'm interested in it or not. But I mean, maybe if you just have them. I mean, he tries to send it out once a week. I think on Fridays or something, Thursdays or Fridays, but. I would just send more of them with a request or a suggestion that he send them off to programmers.
Mm-hmm. I'm with Teresa. It might seem redundant. I mean, I know that it's frustrating. You go, well, we have all this great stuff. You know, why don't they come? But some of them might actually need you to say, please forward to all the producers. it's so lame, but...
Right, they assume that people either don't need to know this or already know this, and it's just if you know they just file it away in their mind. Whereas if you have a request and say, "Could you send this to your programmers?" it might be different.
Yeah, this is Tracy. I think it's a lot about repetition because people are running around to find premiums under some time pressure, and I think it's a question of having it in front of their face so they realize what's available at the moment that they're looking.
Right. I guess redundancy is the project, you know, because I am part of the POC, which I think is considered Pacifica Operations Council.
Yeah.
So, you know, I say quarterly or however often we do it. You know, I'm on a phone call with all the GMs and all the program directors, obviously, many times not all the program directors and all the GMs show up at once or at all. But that's exactly what I do. I mean, I've introduced, you know, hey, everybody, we've put together a new premium list. I'm forwarding it to you now. You know, would you please forward to all your programmers and make everybody in the station aware that there's availability of really great new stuff? So you'd think that was enough, but evidently it's not. So we have to, again, like you say, you know, we've even got to the point where this fund drive, we did the end product, like completely packaged premium in full, packaged, like 50 premiums were boxed up and sent to each program director and Amy Goodman at Democracy Now!, which is why she pitched the From the Vault, because she had it in her hand instead of in a list. So we did that this time and spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a staff person to duplicate, package, label, everything as a product to send out. We spent a lot of money on FedExing stuff to track it to make sure that the person that we sent it to actually received it when they tell me, I don't know what you're talking about. So we put a lot of energy, a lot of money, and a lot of thought into doing it, and we appreciate your comments, but I think what we just need you to do is, you know, continue that buzz. You know, if you don't see multiple copies on a table or on a bulletin board that tells you premiums are up from the archive, ask the program director. You know, call us at the archive. Say, you guys, I don't see anything about you guys over here.
Yeah.
Then I can tell you, you know what, go see Ernesto. He probably has the document on his very full desk.
Well, I will do that. You know, I think that he uses them, but when I open the pledge book, there is a list of all the items from the archive. So somebody has printed that up, and I've seen that come from Robin Lewis, who is our development person. She's
mm-hmm.
the one that works on the premiums, and
mm-hmm.
I've seen that list that she's put out.
But do you hear him pitch it on the air? Besides the 75 hours? I have it.
I do hear various people mention certain premiums from the archives, and I get the impression that, like, I was just talking to a programmer, and I said, well, talk to Robin about the appropriate premiums, because she's the one that sends them out. I always think of her as the one that knows what all the premiums are best
mm-hmm.
and what might be the best thing for your show. So I'm assuming somehow she either gets that from Ernesto, or she's getting it directly from you also, and she's working on that. So
well, I think everybody, the general managers and PDs and Ursula, Pete, John, myself, are meeting March 10th in Houston for a good network summit. I mean, this will be part of our pitch. You know, we really do need the stations to help support the archives in fundraising.
Right.
And there's, you know, top five ways for stations to help us without preempting programming. You know, one, we have an 800 number. We are the Pacifica Program Service. After public affairs programming, the archives 800 number should be broadcast as the place where people can get copies.
Yeah.
Yes, you can go to your website and listen to it and download it via the web archives, but we really are the place to get copies of stuff, and we really need the stations to do that. Our sales have really hit dirt bottom, muddy bottom, though the worst,
you know,
the worst.
Yeah, well, this is Tracy at KPFA, and just anecdotally, I mean, this is just, you know, idle conversations with programmers in the fund drive room, but people have mentioned to me that they know there's great stuff in the archives, but they don't know what's there. So it seems to me like we're having a bit of a bottleneck with the communications. So I'm going to advocate for sending those materials that you have, you know, to multiple points of entry, to going through the webmaster and going through the department heads as well as the PD,
mm-hmm.
so that things don't get stuck. They get out and,
right.
and distributed. So, you know, I'm happy to work with you with, like, a bigger email, you know, a
great.
Bigger, broader email list.
Well, I'm
going to
advocate asking the program director what he did with them and how he's using them. Is he training people? Is he sitting down with programmers specifically? Did he give them to Robin? Is she sitting down with programmers and offering suggestions? Or, you know, I think that if several people ask the program director, since we know they were FedEx directly to program directors, they shouldn't be sitting on a shelf somewhere. What's their plan for optimum use of those? So I think I would suggest everybody talk to the program director about them.
This is Wendy. Question?
Great.
Brian, so you said that each public affairs show should say at the end, to get a copy of our show, visit the Pacifica Program Service?
In the olden days, whatever the olden days are, the traffic coordinator would make a copy and should, as a rule, keep a copy of that program every day. And it's sort of, however they do it now, they do it. They used to do it on reel-to-reel tape. And the public affairs programs would be requested by the archives if we got a request, and it would be sent to us so that we could duplicate it. KPFK, we do this now all the time. We record through a special server 24/7 all of KPFK. So we're able to fulfill requests very easily with whatever programs. We don't have to go get the program. So there would be another, like, little process of figuring out, but it will help. So I did want to move on to some other things because I don't want to get bogged down in the premium, but we understand where the bottleneck might be, and we just have to work five times as hard to make sure people know that they're aware that they're here.
Before you move on, Brian.
It's just not about premiums, too. It's really about programming. Yeah. It's really about, you know, if people are doing a special on Ireland, they really should look in the archives. We've got some amazing stuff.
Yep, totally.
So that's, yeah, we're there to be a resource, not just a money-making vendor.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Brian, let me just interrupt you for a second because
uh-huh.
we really didn't discuss it. Does the idea of trying to wrap this up in a half an hour work for everybody on the phone?
Yes, please.
All right, let's just try to do that. Usually we try to set a limit as we start the call, and being out of practice this year, I just neglected to do it.
Incidentally, this is Teresa, I did not see anything on the fourth Wednesdays for KPFT, so perhaps that might be a good
why don't day. I go ahead and try for the fourth Wednesday next month, and meanwhile, perhaps a couple of the other elections will shake themselves out, and we'll have a better idea of what the full component of the task force is.
Bonnie?
Uh-huh?
Do you have a login for the kpftx.org calendar?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you should just throw it up there, and then everybody else has to work their time
yeah,
around
Yeah, I had put this month. So
okay.
And,
I mean next month.
I will do that.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
All right, so I think what I wanted to do, just to give you some like more updates on current activities rather than overall concerns. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day in Los Angeles, we're having a fundraiser at the Groundlings Theater. Seven actors are donating their time to do a night of improv to rescue Irish American tape collection in the archives. KPFAers. There's a woman named Padraigan McGillicuddy, who is a programmer out of KPFA that did quite a lot of Irish programming. That was pretty amazing. So we are going to be working somehow in promoting it up there, that it's an adopted tape party. People can adopt a tape of the Irish recordings for preservation to be sent to George Blood, etc. So we'll be sort of helping promote that in the Bay Area as well, because we are assuming that some people might remember Padraigan McGillicuddy and might want to participate in saving some of those tapes. So it's a very low-cost event, but I think the goal is pretty big, and it's a great opportunity. And it's L.A. local. Then the next thing, is everybody aware of the WPFW Gala?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So Lonnie Hicks is working to organize more galas in the coming years and months. And evidently the archives is next in line for a September 08 event.
We
to
didn't
raise
know that.
Well, yeah, it's like brand new. I just met with Phil and Lonnie, I guess for the third time today, about the possibility and, you know, how is it going to happen? Because as you all may think or may realize, that we're really very busy. We don't have the staff and resources to do a big, huge gala when we're still doing one-day fundraisers in September, as well as grant work and grant proposals. By the way, we're in a final report phase of a National Endowment for the Arts grant, and then Addie and I are also in the midst right now of completing a new NEA grant proposal that they approached us about to make sure that we put an application in.
Excellent.
So we're on our way to our fifth grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. And it's going well. Yeah, it's going well. With those grant proposals, by the way, you know, we have to make sure that the foundation commits to the match, which in the past has always been, we are going to have a one-day fundraiser to raise $200,000. Part of that money will be set aside for the match. With the gala, and we're not quite sure if it's still a one-day fundraiser, the foundation's funding, financial issues, we feel that we still need a little bit more commitment from national office to realize what that match really is, both in the cash match and the in-kind match, like what staff members in the archives are going to be opening individual tape boxes and dusting it and putting it on the reel and documenting, and the processing of the preservation is a lot more intense than we even realized 2 years ago.
Yeah, we're learning.
Is that right, Addie? This is your turn to say yes.
Yes, yes.
Just reiterate what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
So your NEA grant requires not only money, but in-kind, which I guess you're calling volunteer time match? Are they
No, what basically means is it means that we're committing like an eighth of Brian's time in over a year, and like a quarter of Mariana's time to do the finances, and an eighth of, a sixteenth of Edgar's time to process stuff. So basically it's committing our staff to do preservation work instead of fundraising.
If
preservation
work. That's what you're calling in-kind.
To clarify there, the reason why we do, you know, why we get the grants and do the in-kind is in order to set some enough of the priorities, you know, to have some kind of an impetus to actually have the priority to do the preservation.
I was just confused by the term in-kind on when it's staff time.
Right.
Yeah, that's just that's the way these matches work.
Okay.
You know, so the way all of these matching grants that accept in kind have you count the staff time that goes towards it, and so that reduces the amount of hard cash you have to have up against the grant.
I didn't know that. Okay.
But it's also real.
Oh, sure, it's real.
Yeah. Well, you might understand that, but believe me, it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just that Brian exists. It's also that we actually do need whatever it is, an eighth of his time,
mm-hmm.
a quarter of his
mm-hmm.
time, or some months, even more.
This is a really good time to put in a big concern. The conservation standards within the refrigerator where the tapes are has really sort of been compromised by too many boxes in there, cardboard disintegrating. We're finding much more dust. We've had to buy a new humidifier. So the good news is we've used grant money to buy a new dehumidifier to get the moisture out.
Tell them about our vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, I'm getting to it.
Love our vacuum cleaner.
So we, with our grant money, we spent money on equipment for the storage room, which is a big, huge, expensive dehumidifier to add to what we already have, and also a new $1,500 HEPA vacuum cleaner that's museum quality, which, and then a second vacuum cleaner that is fine-tuned for museum laboratory work, blowing dust out of a box of tape. So
okay.
Now the bad news is, if we are to look at this archive as a professional archive, which we are, at the highest standards, which we are, noting the significance of the content, which we do, we have to go in there this as soon as we can and vacuum every inch of that refrigerator, every individual box that's in that refrigerator. Otherwise, we will be inviting mold spores, dust damage. That has already, we have found mold where Brian was out in the parking lot with a mask, with gloves, when you take something and you put it in a bag, so we put it in plastic baggies, then we had to put the box in a plastic baggie, then we had to photocopy it, photograph it, document it. That's the word, we quarantined it. So we had to quarantine boxes that went to George Blood and caught mold on the way back in the truck. If those boxes had been in that refrigerator for even longer than they were in the processing, we would be compromising the health of those tapes beyond the ability for us to rescue them. So it became an incredibly serious issue in terms of Addie being the MLS consultant, the archivist that tells us what our standards are, helps us find out what our standards are, and then my job to live up to it. we really should be stopping all production. Every person in that archive gets the gloves and the masks on and starts vacuuming the refrigerator. But we can't do that right this second because we're writing grants, we're doing grant work, we're doing fundraising, we're helping the stations for their fundraiser. So that is my impression of a very huge concern, which we are trying to figure out how to do it. Volunteers, by quadrants, you know, what's been done, what hasn't been done, start from the top to the bottom. It's going to take 4 to 5 months to clean that refrigerator with no staff and no budget and no, you know, no previous plan that this had to be done.
Now.
So that's, yeah, and that's, yeah. Addie, now can you say as the professional that it's now and I'm not just being me?
Yeah, this
whining,
is
whining and crying.
Right. It's really serious. We've hit a point, you know, in terms of the safety and health of the tapes there in the refrigerator where we have to do a lot of this work now because, you know, we're all talking about organic and chemical processes that go on. You know, they've got their own schedules, and we have to stop all of them. And the other thing is, you know, so we've got all these other things we want to do, like do the, correct and the descriptions in the catalog and make those descriptions so that people can find materials more easily. I mean, if you even fool around with the stuff on the Internet Archive or on the Pacific Radio Archive, you know, on the Search Our Collection, you'll see that you won't necessarily pick up the things that you think you're trying to search for, and so we're trying to make those descriptions better. That takes an enormous amount of work, and we only still have the same few people. You know, we're talking about, how many people are we talking about, Brian? 6 people?
Yeah, it kind of depends upon the activity. Sometimes it's really just Addie and myself
right.
and one other consultant doing what we tell them to do.
Right.
And in other words, what we're saying is that Sherm is right. We need the cataloger archivist. We're not even quite sure what that means. Desperately, mm-hmm. And we're in a deficit budget year because we are still waiting to raise $100,000 somehow. Which is the gala that I started this conversation about. The gala in September is Lonnie's plan to raise the money to fulfill this year's budget, which has nothing to do with what our current needs are, because as you all know, the PNB approved last year's budget, last year's spending levels. So we're sort of in a crawl of how to do the emergency plan, the continuing plan based on a deficit budget with what is still yet to be a real proven fundraising activity, being the gala.
I have a total budget question. This is Wendy. So when you say that Pacifica approved last year's budget, I don't even think we did that. I thought we approved a 3-month budget or something because we couldn't tell what your budget was because we couldn't tell what WBAI's budget was, so we couldn't tell what the National Office budget was. So therefore, we couldn't approve your budget. Now, am I remembering this wrong? And we actually approved a year's budget for the archives based on
No, I think at the time, and Bonnie was there too, actually, in Berkeley.
I was there. Go ahead, Brian.
No, you go ahead.
Well, what I remember, although I wasn't on the PNB in the next 2 months to see if it got picked up again, but at the last PNB meeting in Berkeley, there was confusion over the numbers?
Right.
And I thought that in the second session on that it was just a provisional for the next few months thing. Am I wrong about this?
Yeah, I think you're right that the board like passed the first quarter until Lonnie and Brian could resolve the issue that there was a discrepancy on what budget he had and what budget I had. Well, we came out of that with Lonnie telling me that the board approved the budget and that he's using last year's budget. That's that. There's a bit of a problem with, for me, communication. In other words, like if it's Lonnie is communicating the archives priorities and budget to the finance committee before it goes to the board for approval. I have never Now, I've been doing the budgets for the archives for 9 years now, I think, maybe 10 years. And I've been doing them, and I've still yet to have a meeting with the finance committee or members of the finance committee to ask me questions about the budget. I've written narratives about the change in a line or a budget line or the addition of a budget line. At one point, we added the preservation and access line so that monies spent on preservation activities could actually be visible, that it's not sort of folded in programming or whatever else category that there is, development, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Our budget is based on a station, development, programming, and administration. There was never any preservation in our budget. So I worked for a year and a half to get that line added. You know, we worked with the auditor to convince CFO that the line needed to be there. So I don't know how this committee can help or task force can help, but I would like scheduled some point between before it goes to the finance committee and the PNB, some meeting so that I can explain to members who are going to approve it what the budget we've worked on is. Because the confusion really was, I swear to you, and I know that we're on a public broadcast, and I'm certainly not accusing anybody, but Lonnie Hicks was incredibly overwhelmed with the work of the organization of the WPFW gala at the time when we should have been having long budget meetings. We didn't have them, so he didn't get the updated version that Mariana Berkovich, the business manager, corrected at our budget meeting. So he had a budget from one meeting back, but then just sort of pushed it forward, and that's sort of where it sits, because we're at a financial crisis where no matter what budget it is that was passed, we're still in a financial crisis that we have to make some drastic changes about. I guess since it's public, I also should say I appreciate Lonnie's attention to trying to organize some way to fulfill the archives budget.
This is Wendy. Some of us are on the PNB. That's how we can help. And I'm just going to say that I was on the PNB last year and this year, and I don't think we've approved any kind of a budget for PRA or for the national office or for WBAI. Since then, it was a big crunch at the time, and since then, no one's talked about them at all. So it's kind of disturbing to hear that you're told that you're on a, deficit budget. To me, you guys are rocking and raising the money you need to raise to do at least your operations. Of course, I don't know what the finance committee's been doing, but I haven't heard anything about it as a PNB member. And so, I'm glad that we're having this discussion. We can kind of go hello. I mean, it's hard when the PNB changes out every year, and all the stuff people have been working on becomes new stuff.
I would suggest that what I'm looking for is not a confrontation about the current budget, because I think that's sort of up in the air, and Lonnie and Phil and the general managers are working to help fulfill the budget this year. But what I'm really looking for is the process, so that next year's budget, we all actually know what we're trying to spend the money on.
If the PNB hasn't approved it, you don't have a budget. It's not minus, it's not plus. They have to approve a budget for you. So this is good. We're having this conversation. We can go back to that.
Yeah.
Of course, any comments that you want to give are good. I guess what we'll do first is get back on that discussion. When are we going to approve these budgets? What's up with these budgets? And then we can ask for any comments that the different units have on their budgets. I mean, what do you think?
There is a budget process that the board put out in terms of dates and time periods when certain things should be done. The first meeting, the GMs and the business managers, et cetera, somewhere in that budget process, there should be meeting with the GM or director to interview about the budget.
Yeah.
This isn't a Brian wants his way kind of meeting. This is me trying to convince the foundation on what the recommendation is.
Yeah, we're hearing that loud and clear. And I'm saying that that's not my issue, your issue, or anything. It's kind of the way things are supposed to work. Yeah.
Right. You know, I really assume that the presentation before the PNB is a way for me to help the board decide priorities for the archives. But even that is sort of not really how it works out in the end. What those presentations really become, mean, and actually work out in terms of you guys are there for 14 hours and I see four of you fall asleep in the middle of my presentation.
Brian, are you going to be doing a presentation at the Houston meeting on...
As of now, I understand that it has not been decided whether or not we're invited.
Okay, so it's not off the table. I mean, I found it odd that you're all coming to Houston the second week in March when we're having a meeting just a few weeks later.
Is that the producer? Is that the station meeting?
The station programmers.
Yeah,
management.
I mean, operations, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
GM's, National Staff GM's PD.
Well, I guess, I will say, that we need the organization needs the general managers and the PDs and the national office staff meet. We do need that kind of time to let each other know what we're doing, make plans, raise money, all of that. And this is the first time we're planning something outside of the PNB schedule, which sort of gets folded in. Instead of us actually planning, we all sort of try to figure out how we're going to get through the meeting and what are we going to present and what are the problems and...
Right. Normally it was done like in a couple of days before the PNB meeting, and I'm going to be, I hope that you're available for the second week in April as well.
I have it on my calendar.
That's excellent.
I've planned it. We'll just see if we have the money to go and who will let us have the money to go.
Okay, cool. I think it's really important for the PNB to hear from the archive staff and the national and the managers and the PD, and just to be there and find out what's going on. It's important.
Right.
Okay.
I know we want to wrap up in about 5 minutes. So the last thing I want to talk about is this gala and what Lonnie and Phil asked me to ask you or tell you how you could help and see if we could let you think about it and make a commitment. So what we're looking for is underwriting for whatever the event is going to be in September. So he has a script put together based on what WPFW did, and he wants you all to commit to make 6 to 10 calls to progressive organizations and ask for underwriting for the Archives Gala as part of the Pacifica Peace and Justice Awards 60th anniversary something.
And where's that going to be? I'm sorry.
It's supposed to happen in Los Angeles sometime in September. And my job, as dictated this morning, was I have to go and look for appropriate venues in Los Angeles, which I think an event planner might know better.
Brian, so on the underwriter, so if we're going to... kind of each call 6 to 10 organizations, what kind of levels, what are we asking them for?
$1,000,
$10,000?
Yeah, well, ask Lonnie. I think the way they did it was like you can buy a table for $1,000 or you can underwrite the catering for $5,000 or you can underwrite the media blitz for something.
Right.
So you can underwrite the cost of the trophy that whoever will get the trophy will get.
Okay, so he might have
so basically,
idea.
I'm just asking you to commit to a number of hours to make some calls. You'll be given a script, and
that's... Will we be given, Brian? Will we be given leads, phone numbers, that kind of thing?
Yes, I think so.
I think we're probably supposed to come up with them. We're in the area. We're in our area.
In the area, but also national organizations. Like, Amnesty, I don't know.
Okay. All right,
I have no idea.
Well, I'll be happy to help with that, Brian.
But in terms of the list, I think that they'll provide you with the list of what WPFW, like who WPFW got.
Right.
And then that could help us into, like, okay, so just use a little logic which I have not yet figured out
good
who to call and, you know, how to get the contact information.